It's Air Talk on LA's 89.3. I'm Larry Mantle. Wonderful to have you with us. Coming up next hour, the New York Times A.O. Scott. He recently left the film criticism beat for the New York Times and is now writing for the Book Review. He joins us to talk about the state of reading in America and in our schools. That's all coming up next hour. A.O. Scott of the New York Times on Air Talk. But right now we turn our attention to pets and how they deal with fireworks. We know it can be a tremendous stressor for them because of their hearing. And we're very pleased to have an expert with us to talk about that and also to talk about what that means for animal shelters in Southern California. So many dogs do unfortunately get out or traumatized by events, end up in animal shelters. And with us to talk about that is Marcia Maeda, who's director of the LA County Department of Animal Care and Control. Marcia, thank you for being with us. Do you see the population of the county's animal shelters increase around the 4th because of fireworks?
Hi, Larry. Thanks for having me. We absolutely do see this increase during this time of year. And in fact, we stay open on the 4th of July so we can reunite lost pets with our owners so they don't have to spend one more day away from their families as necessary.
And I know that for many animal shelters in Southern California, they're straining with capacity and doubling up in some cases with the cages that the dogs are in, for example. How are the county facilities doing in terms of their capacity?
You know, we have definitely seen an increase of animals coming into our care center since the pandemic has kind of started waning. And how we handle that is we have a capacity for care model where we make sure that when animals come in, we have a path for them to leave, whether it's for adoption or reuniting them with their owner, placing them with an adoption partner rescue group, or just placing them for adoption with a member of the public. So we have to be mindful, as do all shelters, as far as how we manage our animal population. And we also have the benefit of having 7 animal care centers in LA County, so we can move animals from our more crowded care centers to our less crowded ones to give them more opportunities for adoption.
There was a recent audit of the LA City animal shelters, and I know that's a totally separate department, and you might be reluctant to comment on there, but I know that the audit of those shelters showed what's described as overcrowding and that the animals aren't being walked as often as they should because they have tremendous staffing shortages. What is the level of staffing for LA County shelters?
Well, it's quite low as well. We lost 57 positions due to curtailments when the COVID pandemic hit because, of course, the county had to focus its resources on all the issues that came with COVID. And it's struggling. And, you know, animal shelters in general and private practices as well are struggling with a veterinary shortage and a shortage of registered veterinary technicians that makes it very difficult to do the procedures that we need to be able to do. So we rely heavily on volunteers, and we're very grateful for our volunteers that are just the most compassionate, dedicated people that we could hope for, and they really help us through these tough times.
We're talking with the director of the Los Angeles County Department of Animal Care and Control, Marcia Maeda. If you have questions about ways of helping your pets better deal with the fireworks that are in your neighborhood, give us a call. We're at 866-893-5722 because we have with us board-certified veterinary behaviorist based in Los Angeles, Dr. Rachel Melamed. Dr. Melamed, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
What's sort of the general advice you have for households that have, I mean, usually dogs, I think, that are most traumatized because of their acute hearing, but what are some ways of helping them relax?
Well, first of all, you know, it's a very serious thing for pets. They get very frightened and often they'll escape. And many pets are lost on July 4th. And so the first thing is making sure that their ID tags are in place and updated. And if you haven't microchipped your pet, make sure that that's been done. create a safe enclosed area, keep your pets inside, create a safe haven for your pets that you can, you know, they can go to when they're scared, with some long lasting treats and distractions. Research shows that playing with your dog can help. But a lot of dogs are just so scared that they won't eat. Talk to your veterinarian in advance, you know, for upcoming seasons, of course, because your veterinarian can help you to devise a plan for your pet to make them more comfortable, whether it involves anti-anxiety medications and a behavior modification plan. These are things that usually need to be put in place ahead of time. So, you know, when your pet's not panicking, there's also things that you can do to help reduce the noise. So playing white noise, noise-canceling headphones, Ponix is one product that I like to recommend for my patients. And behavior modification, using sound exposure therapy, or what we call desensitization and counter conditioning, can really be effective for dogs, but it needs to be done well in advance. So those are just some things that you can do.
I've heard lower dose CBD. Some people talk about that. I don't know if that's been studied for use in animals. What do you think of that?
There's not a whole lot of research on CBD. And I mean, I see a different set of more severe patients that are, they, by the time they come to me, they've usually tried that already and it hasn't worked. And so I'm reaching for often more pharmaceuticals, anti-anxiety medications in combination with behavior modification that can really help alleviate stress for some dogs.
I don't quite understand how CBD would work, because the THC level is so very, very low. Do you know chemically how it would be a relaxant without the THC?
To be honest, I don't use that all that often for my patients. And veterinarians are sort of restricted on how we can use them, because there's not a lot of research.
Now you mentioned about white noise and all. Are there even like headsets you can give a dog to mask the noise?
Yeah, actually, I mentioned before there's a product called Ponix, and this can be a real game changer, especially on the day of. You know, and even sometimes medications and behavior modification don't cut it. So all of these things in combination. But the Ponix is, they're custom-made noise-canceling headphones for dogs that you can order. And if your dog will wear them, if they're comfortable, then you can, it can really help block the sound. There's also other things like mutt muffs, and there's different products that you can use.
Why is it some dogs are so sensitive to the sound and others not? I haven't had a dog who's been, I've had a number of dogs, I haven't had any that have been sensitive to fireworks, and some have been very frightened, very highly sensitive, but not to that. Do we understand why some are more susceptible to stress from the noise?
No, I mean, it's a very common thing. I would say, you know, half of our dog population has at least one type of noise phobia or fear. And, you know, sometimes also as dogs age and they can have some cognitive decline, they can become more anxious. We start to see problems arise or fears arise that didn't exist previously or weren't noted. I think also there's many pets have anxiety, but sometimes those signs or more subtle signs go unrecognized by their owners. So another, you know, point I wanted to make was it's really important to be able to recognize those signs of fear.
What are those signs to look for to see if your pet is stressed?
So pets they may whine or vocalize or hide. Some dogs or cats, they're clingy to their owners. They won't take treats. So another otherwise food motivated animal might not eat. They may lick their lips a lot or yawn a lot, put their ears back, tuck their tail, tremble. Those are some of the more common.
We're talking with board certified veterinary behaviorist Dr. Rachel Melamed. Also with us, Marcia Maeda, who's director of LA County's Department of Animal Care and Control. If you have questions about how to help your pet be better prepared for the fireworks that we're going to be hearing over the next 48 hours, we're at 866-893-5722. That's 866-893-5722. Or you can email your question to atcomments@las.com. Please include your location and first name. Victor in Alhambra said, we give our dogs some prescribed sedative from the vet. We're very careful about it. Only give them the medicine the day before and after July 4th. We've been doing this for about 15 years. It's the only way we found to calm our pets that works. That's Victor in Alhambra. So you give out a lot of prescriptions for that medication around the 4th?
I do. You know, they really can help alleviate stress and improve welfare. And of course, you know, we do so carefully. And a lot of the times we're doing it well in advance of July 4th so we can do a trial run and see what dosages work. Sometimes we're using combinations. And again, we're combining it with behavior modification. But yeah, these pets are so scared. And so whatever we can do to help them to alleviate some of that fear.
Also, what advice do you have about routines? You know, many of us, particularly when it's hot, will walk our dogs, you know, very late in the day as the sun's starting to go down, the heat's starting to break. But of course, that can be noisier nights around the 4th.
Yes, and many pets will not go out. You know, once the fireworks start and or it gets dark, and even in subsequent nights after July 4th, because the fireworks extend and some animals develop secondary, you know, associations with nightfall. So as soon as it gets dark, they associate it with fireworks and they won't go out. So, you know, making sure that you're walking your pet, you know, 30 to 60 minutes before nightfall. Obviously, it can be very challenging during the night if your pet won't go out. So setting up perhaps some pads inside if your pet will use that, taking them out very briefly. But yes, that's a very difficult
situation. What about exercising them earlier in the day, let's say tomorrow the 4th, and wearing them out a little bit? Does that help or not?
It probably doesn't help for, you know, alleviating their fear, because that's really a panic response that does, it's not really related to how much exercise or physical activity they've had.
What are some other ways to, and I know it's a longer term process, you're not going to desensitize your dog in 48 hours or 24 hours, but what you know, thinking about future years of fireworks, mm-hmm. what can you do in advance to help them desensitize to the sound?
So first off, you know, again, speak to your veterinarian. You can contact a veterinary behaviorist. If you're not able to do that, because there's so few of us, you can still do these exercises, playing low, you know, playing the firework sounds, audio playback, finding some videos of the pops and the booms and the whizzes, and playing them at a very low volume while you distract your dog with some treats and watch them for signs of fear and anxiety that we talked about, and gradually increasing that volume. So staying below threshold, though. You're trying to create a positive association and what we call classical conditioning so that they associate those sounds with good things.
That's great. We're talking with board-certified veterinary behaviorist Dr. Rachel Melamed joining us on Air Talk. This specialty, what attracted you mm-hmm. to it as opposed to traditional veterinary work?
Wow. Well, I realized that working in a general practice treating sick animals all the time was not suited to my personality, and behavior medicine really sort of was attractive to me because it married the sort of the mental and the physical, because we know that, you know, the mental and physical are intrinsically related, and medical conditions can very much cause anxiety and vice versa. So I just became very interested in vet school in this specialty area. And after going out in practice, I sort of shifted and I went back and did a residency at UC Davis to specialize.
That's great. UC Davis, of course, an incredible veterinary medicine program and specialties there at Davis. You know, just before I let you go, so you're going to see the patients when a physical cause has been ruled out in all the testing, and so then it's likely to be stress or anxiety that's causing it?
Sometimes it's already been ruled out, and other times I will recommend the necessary diagnostics to help rule out underlying medical conditions that could be contributing to the behavior. So we always want to make sure that we've ruled out medical causes, mm-hmm. and we're addressing that before we just focus on the behavior itself.
Dr. Malamed, thank you very much for coming in and talking with us. We appreciate it. And Marcia Maeda, before we let you go, Director of LA County Department of Animal Care and Control, what advice do you have for listeners when a pet goes missing related to fireworks? What should they do?
Well, first of all, they should upload photos of their pets on Petco Love Lost. That's a new facial recognition system that we've rolled out. It's sponsored by Petco Charities, and it's a great way to get your pet identified and get back to you right away. So go do that. And then also, of course, check the websites of all the animal shelters, not just the one that serves your area, because somebody could have found your pet and taken it to another animal shelter in the area that may not be the one that serves your jurisdiction. So it's good to keep an eye on all of that.
Marcia, thank you so much. I know you've got a very busy period this time of year with so many animals getting lost. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate it very much.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Marcia Maeda directs LA County Department of Animal Care and Control. Coming up on Air Talk, the great songwriter Jimmy Webb. I was looking at his total list of credits. It's astonishing. The number of artists, the volume of songs, memorable songs that he's written in his career. And so here he is late in his career, coming to Southern California and doing a tour of more intimate venues. He'll be telling stories about the greats with whom he's worked and also the response to his songs that have connected with so much of America. Jimmy Webb with us when we come back in just 90 seconds.